You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bates Motel After Show.
Something.
Yeah. A little heart. Is that what this is? Heart?
Is it heart?
It's heart.
Marissa's giving us heart. I believe this is crazy.
It's crazy on you.
Crazy on you.
Yeah.
It's coming. Like, all right.
Help us out, Marissa. Just put the hook.
Now we waited this long. We must all wait all the way.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh, wait. Hold on, wait.
It's happening.
It's coming soon.
And hi.
Yeah, there it is.
Now it makes
all right.
sense.
1 minute and 34 seconds in. Bing is for doing, and we are now doing.
Now it makes sense.
The Bates Motel After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm here with Dua Casey.
That's me.
And my man, Nando Velasquez.
That's me.
And my other man, Joe Filippo.
Hey, you guys.
Oh, you got to be.
And, of course, my girl in the ones and twos, making it happen, Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. So, episode 6, Bates Motel.
The truth.
And we know the truth came out.
Oh, yeah.
Did it come out?
Well, I think it did. I mean, I don't...
She's casting dispersions. Maybe Norma's making some stuff up. But that had the ring of truth to it.
That felt very true.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, guys.
We will. We'll get into that later. But regardless, it was another great episode. Again, you know, as I say every week, the show gets better and better, blah, blah, blah. It's beautiful. It's great.
I'd give real money if he'd shut up.
Jeez. I'm so sick of, like, gushing about how good the show is. But the show is so freaking good. One of the things that really jumped out at me just in general was it looked beautiful. I mean, it's just a well-directed show. And it's directed by my man Tucker Gates, who has done tons and tons of TV. Like, he's got like 80 episodes of odd TV on IMDb, but he's done a bunch of these. He did the pilot, so because the pilot had that very cool cinematic feel, and it really set the tone for what this entire series would be. You know, bridging.
Did you get the cinematographer?
No, I didn't get to cinematographer. Like, the DP, I can find out for you if you really.
Is he not your man? I mean, the director was your man.
I don't know the cinematographer of the DP, but I can certainly find out for you because I have this thing called the internet, and I'll look that up as I'm telling you about.
A lot of people say that Hitchcock was actually a photographer first, and that's why all of his films are so well shot. Like, at any moment you can actually take like a still, or you can pause any one of his films, and it looks like a picture. And I really think they, in this show, they stayed true to that, and they stayed on point. And like, a lot of these shots, if you just pause them, they are very, very picturesque and
they're
just
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
The one my favorite shot in this episode was where Norma was dragging Norman out the door across the carpet at the same time Shelby was coming up the stairs, and they just followed Shelby up the stairs and then brought the camera back and then panned right out over following them. That was really cool. Beautiful.
Tom Yatsko is the DP. He also shot the pilot.
Tom Yatsko.
He's also shot a bunch of episodes. He's shot most of the episodes that our guy has directed. So Tucker Gates has directed. So
Tom and Tucker, when they get together, good things happen.
Good things happen.
Tom and that sounds like a show of its own. Tom and Tucker.
Tom and Tucker.
Tonight on NBC. Tom and Tucker.
It's Tom and Tucker time.
but I really love it. And just, you know, we can go on about shots, but it's a lot about the tone that was set, the mood, the way things are lit. I mean, there's so many great set pieces in this. You know, just some of my favorite set pieces. Well, first of all, my favorite shot was that shot of Dylan calling the crime boss, and it's kind of through the window of the truck with the blood, so you're reminded, oh, that happened. And then through the rainy windshield to reveal him on the phone is like, that's a nice shot.
You can accomplish so much with such a well-planned shot.
Sure.
I mean, it's so brilliant. And if it's done well, it never feels clunky.
Right.
It never feels forced. It felt that way. You're 100% right. Nice and smooth.
Unlike this podcast. But... What are you talking about?
We're smooth like butter, baby.
That's right, like butter. No, but I love that shot. I also really like towards the end there when Shelby comes down the stairs. We don't know if it's Dylan or is it Shelby, and it's that very iconic, you know, stairwell that we know from some Psycho of the Bates going up to the Bates house, the house in the background, and he's kind of stumbling down, and who is it? That was just really, really well done and well played. And also, lastly, my other set piece I love is which they repeated from the pilot, which is the whole expansion of what happened to Norman's dad. He's a real charmer, isn't he, Mr. Bates? That guy. But Norman's dad.
He was the lead investigator from Medium, right? Remember that show with? You're staring at me. Nothing.
Blink.
Medium. Oh, come on.
No. Patricia Arquette.
Patricia Arquette. He was the lead investigator.
Okay.
That was the actor. You don't care. Move on.
He's. But as Mr. Bates.
I care. Maybe people care, Joe.
He's a real charmer. But I did like the whole taking that. That whole set piece of downstairs in the basement with the light sort of flashing and going back and forth and the white paint spilling, and it's the same opening shot we saw in the pilot that was sort of recreated, or even maybe it's the same.
They just shot it once,
but don't tell me what you don't know what they did.
I'm telling you what they did.
You don't know. You ain't
I was
know,
there.
You know Tucker Gates, homie.
I'm telling you what Tom and Tucker did.
You don't know what Tom and Tucker did.
Tom and Tucker did that Tom and Tucker time.
But it was beautiful, beautiful work. So aside from that, aside from really, you know, picking up where the tone of the pilot left off, we really got into some answers. I mean, we finally got our answers. All of our talk and speculation: is the girl real? Is she not real? Is Norman? What's real with Norman? What's not real? Did Norma kill the guy?
I guess everything was real.
I don't know.
I'm the one.
I
mean,
we're still not sure if Norman got laid or not. That might still. We're not sure if that's real. But everything else sure as hell is real.
That's a hell of a time to black out, too.
Right?
That's a hell of a time to black out.
I want to remember this, but I feel something fuzzy happening.
Maybe it's the opposite. He blacks out and then remembers all the good stuff, like getting laid, and he forgets all the stuff, like killing people.
Well, in that case, he's got a perfect disease.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I definitely think that the Asian sex slave is real because we see her with just Norma. It's not with Norman. So Norman wasn't there. So I think that she is real. Then.
Oh, Asian sex slave, definitely real.
It's definitely real.
Well, he went tearing off in the woods after her, so he was pissed.
The only thing I thought was weird about that, though, is that Dylan was never saw the girl. Dylan just took them for their word, and just next thing you know, they're going to the boat. That's the one thing that I thought was weird about that. But I think the sex slave's real.
Well, there's enough. I mean, it's Emma, it's Norma, it's
Norman. Wouldn't you want to check? Is like, there's a sex slave here. You know, wouldn't you want to look Dylan, before you start
let
doing
me see
all
her, man. Let me see her. I want
to
see her.
All right, you guys, I need 15 minutes alone in the room to make sure it's a good Asian sex slave. I'll be right back.
David Cubitt is John Bates.
That was the actor.
Yeah.
That's the guy with the limp.
The dad.
Oh, investigator. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, John Bates is the dad. I can't.
John Bates is the John dad. Bates, David Cubitt is the actor.
David Cubitt, who was the investigator, the lead investigator from Medium.
Yeah. I like that Marissa just holds up signs.
He plays detective.
I love that she does it on the sly so that she doesn't get drawn attention to.
Detective Scanlon.
All right. Yeah. Hold on. We're having three conversations at once. Marissa's going to talk.
There you go.
What did he say?
I don't know. I missed the whole thing.
We were just saying how it was really cool that Marissa held up a sign to be as inconspicuous as possible, and yet we're just like, Marissa, what was that? Oh, yeah.
David John Cubitt Bates? Huh? What?
Why does David John equal Cubitt Bates?
Who's
it doesn't
John
make any
Bates?
Sense.
This is stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
I like that they introduced two new characters this episode. They have Gil and Remo, the two mysterious guys that Dylan now knows and works with.
Yeah,
right.
One of them who has a hobby. He has a thing. Whatever it is, we don't know what it was, but he was working on it.
I love, you know, that makes a good crime boss. A good crime boss always has to have a little bit of business.
Yeah. You have
always
to.
Doing.
Even if it's just stroking a cat.
Yeah, it's a cat.
It's better if you have a hobby.
Or you're like in Game of Thrones, Lannister's like, he's slicing the meat or he's always writing something.
Remember that meat scene?
Yeah.
Butchering that thing while he's talking. So beautifully done.
You can't be a good crime boss without doing a bit of business.
You have to know how to multitask. Right. You have to know how to multitask.
And the days are gone when you can just smoke a cigarette and we'd all be like, hey, smoking. Right. Let him think while he's, no.
It's
gotta
be all that, but this guy, it's some sort of model. He's got the magnifying glass off and he's working on something, meticulously working calmly.
Which says a ton about him. We know he pays attention to details. He's a meticulous guy.
He's calm.
Careful.
And poor Dylan's crying. He's dead. And he's like, good job. Where is he? Where is the son of a bitch?
Right? Would you recognize him if you found him?
Bad enough.
I want to see a crime boss with a Zen garden and a little rake that they just like use the whole time.
That's first when we write our hit TV show.
There we go.
Joe Flippo, when you play the villain,
yeah,
we gotta have you do some business.
I'm gonna do some stuff. Yeah. Maybe a ship in a bottle. Yeah. That'll be and
there you go.
Maybe like a Game Boy. It's like you're just playing. You're playing Super Mario.
Or just eating
cookies.
Tetris, 50th level. What's that?
Or just eating cookies. Just slowly eating cookies.
All right, Dua brought this is totally aside, but I'm lactose intolerant, and Dua brought vegan oatmeal chocolate chip cookies, and I might have eaten about 14.
Okay, so let's get back.
You don't care? I care.
All right, here we go.
So we're hopped up on cookies.
Base motel. Anyway, so we did meet some two new characters, and then we met the henchman, the side. So Remo?
Yeah, the seasoned professional.
Gil and Remo. Remo was the guy that had been doing this for 23 years.
Right. Two years longer than Dylan's been alive.
And then when Dylan is like, you know, how I'm working for you, and he's like, no, I'm working for you.
Yeah. Didn't Remo look like future Dylan? Like it was like just like
it's like Looper.
Exactly like Looper. I'm you. Exactly. Our lives sucked.
And they met each other in a field. And they met each other in a field.
It was incredible.
It totally felt like that to me.
It was great. So, but anyway, a lot of good stuff happened. The truth. So we do know that the Asian sex slave is real. Mm-hmm. We also know we get a little bit of the Norman, full Norman origin story, which I know we'll jump into this later, which frankly makes Norma a hell of a lot more sympathetic.
Right?
Right?
I want to talk about that,
wait a minute. Maybe Norma's not the one. She did kill that guy. But aside from that...
Well,
had it coming, right?
If she was telling the truth.
Well, no, she killed that guy. Well, she's telling the truth about Norman.
Correct.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. Let's jump into that. Before we jump into anything, I want to, as always, thank you all for listening to us on iTunes. We are still, we're the number two show now. Two or three?
We're in the top three.
We're in the top three.
One day we're number one, next day we're number two.
So, but you guys are really helping us out with that, and thank you for all your comments and all your listening, and, you know, a little show on A&E called The Bates Motel. It's no business duking it out with Mad Men and Game of Thrones, and it's all because of you folks out there giving us that rating of Joe.
We love the five.
Yes, yeah, so fives. So thank you very much, and thank you for all your comments and all your lovely thoughts.
I mean, right now we're number one. So,
nice.
Yeah, we're number one right now.
Oh,
nice. According to top episodes, yeah.
I think it's all of your shameless asking for fives every week that's gotten us to that.
Dude, I'm not apologizing to anybody.
Well, that's downloads, we love that's not fives. We love fives.
Well, that's downloads.
You.
So
thank
if you download
you very
us,
much
there
for
you
making
go.
Us number one as of the taping of this podcast. I appreciate that.
There you go.
Also, we should note that if you are, we do have some new technology here at AfterBuzz. If you're able to stream us live on all your devices, on your iPads and your iPhones, as well as your Android devices, for some of you who even have those, none of us at this table.
Yeah, I got to tell you, as soon as we left the show last week, I got an iPhone 5.
Congratulations.
I just got to say. I think it might be that product placement that Bates Motel has.
That's right. So you can dial us up right now and watch us live as we're doing this live right now.
I can, absolutely.
If you wanted to. So check that out. Check out the other shows here at AfterBuzz. There's 55 of the shows that are all fantastic. If you like whatever you like, we have a show for you. And probably one of us here are doing at least four of them. So what? Let's jump into the episode. Joe Sanfilippo. Joe Flippo. What would you like to speak?
I like what you said about Norma. Like, that she's a lot more sympathetic given the new truth, right? The new facts, which come out in the truth. I think, you know, I've said it every week that Vera Farmiga is like giving a clinic every single week, and it's just
she's triple God. killing it.
Can't be stopped from the scene in the car, tooling around the parking lot. I mean, and all
Norman, let me drive.
Whatever she's saying.
Oh, so and she's just she and just her transitions are awesome, and so much of what she's done now kind of makes a lot more sense, right?
Right.
Some of the things that were a little weird before, now we know why she's doing it.
Can you give me an example?
Well, like some of the times where she's taken crap off of Dylan without offering an explanation, and it has looked like guilt. mm-hmm. about Dad when now we know the truth. She's protecting Norman. So she's willing. She's been willing to take shit from Dylan for weeks. Yeah. But she hasn't been doing it because she killed Dad. She's been doing it because she's protecting Norman. Mm-hmm. And now it has a totally different feel to it. Like, you remember that scene in the kitchen when he's accusing her, and I don't remember the other scenes where he accused her, but he's accused her a few times.
Yeah.
And at least brought it up, alluded to it, and she's never said a word, and now we know why. And I mean, that just makes her elevates her so high in my esteem as a character. She's just getting it done. I mean, the scene with Dad, with John Bates, with Officer Scanlon. I mean, she doesn't. She holds her own, right? And mm-hmm. the iron became like such a good little thing in the scene. Like, I got the iron, but not really. I'm not menacing you, but I'm kind of menacing you with the iron.
It was definitely like a
right,
yeah.
like a little thing. It was, like, so cool, man. Don't come at a person who's ironing. Don't be stupid. It's steel and it's practically on fire.
Yes, it would burn your face.
Might fix you. But you played that out, right? It played out real, and it played out so strong, and you got to see like a almost like a prototype Norma. She wasn't as together as she ends up being later on. She's not as good at covering for Norman. It's the first time she's had to do it,
mm-hmm.
but she improvises quick and she figures it out. But that moment where she's trying to get in his head, you know, and she's trying to figure out what's wrong. What, you know, where are you? You're not here, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was beautifully done, and it gives the character so much more. Like Joe said, she's so much more sympathetic. But everything she's been doing, all this whole thing that seemed like seemed selfish. We're going to go to this hotel. We're going to do all this stuff, Norman. It seemed very selfish, and it seemed very driven for her. But the reality is, now that we know the truth, it was all for him. It was all to get him away and to get him, you know, protected and away from all that.
Well, this is something that I just want. I mean, as tickled pink as that I am that my prediction came true this week and you find out that Norman killed his father, that whole flashback scene was told from Norma's point of view to Dylan, who a couple scenes earlier told Norma that he was going to take Norman and move all of his stuff out and take him to an Ocean View apartment. Now, knowing Norma's character like I do so far, what would she do and what would she say to get Dylan to not do that? To get Dylan to understand where she's
coming
from.
I understand your point of view on that.
So maybe she is lying, and maybe this is the way.
I think that's such. I mean, that's, you know, look. I have a higher opinion of the show. That is such, you know, not lazy. It's just such manipulative storytelling to really like lay out a whole thing for us only in another episode to be like, here's what really happened. That whole flashback we shot was just a red herring.
That
happens all the time in movies and in TV shows, but like, I'm just, please, I hope they don't do that. Like,
no, I don't think they will. I the vibe I got was
here's
very
what
much
really happened.
Right. Anyway, I very much got an exhausted, like, you don't understand. You can't have him alone with you. You're not prepared to deal with him. You mm-hmm. don't know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what he's capable of. I'm the only one who can really understand where he goes. I'm the only one who loves him enough to deal with this stuff. You don't want this burden. That's the feeling I got.
You can either help me or you can
get out of my way. Absolutely.
Well, here's the one thing that I was curious about the flashback. I believe that what happened in the flashback happened, but she just seemed very... When it happened, she seemed like this wasn't the first time that something like this happened with Norman.
In the flashback.
I mean, she was freaked out by it.
Well, I think that she's aware of his sort of blackouts, but I don't think she was...
Think that he would, in a blackout, he would do something that...
Well, so you think, this isn't the first time he's killed someone. You think that there's other flashbacks of him killing other people?
I'm just keeping that open, that maybe it's not the first time he's blacked out and done stuff that's been... Maybe
weird.
Not killed somebody, but maybe attacked somebody. Maybe just maybe it's one of many times he's shown a violent streak.
Well, we've had those references in like episodes 4 or 3 or 4.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, oh, Norman, you're doing your thing, or oh, you're a little, you know, the stuff you don't know. And so, I mean, she's very aware of his condition, if you will. But
then she lied to him about it this episode, and she said, no, I was just saying that. I can't believe I didn't believe you about
this. She's trying to protect him. She loves him.
Yes, but she's a liar. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's
sometimes
like
you lie to protect the ones you love, Tua.
But if you establish somebody as a liar, then you don't know when they're telling the truth
sure.
or not.
No,
you know?
True.
So that's why I will always take whatever Norma says with a grain of salt. Now, I felt that what happened this episode was real, but now with everything that's happened in previous episodes, I always want to keep that open. I always want to keep the possibility that maybe it's not real open, and, you know, so that I'm not blindsided later.
Well, I know, like last week, I was all over everything being imaginary with Emma and everything, so I'm trying to take the opposite view this time. I really feel like just how paced this was, that it really is no time for a blackout, for a imaginary scene, for someone's imagination to take full effect. Mm. So that's why I'm looking at it differently, because I know I was really off with my predictions last week, based on my thoughts. So
right,
yeah. Anyway.
Well, all I gotta say, Joe, to our Vera Farmiga for Emmy campaign.
I'd campaign for no president one, right now, based on
no one. Are we no making one, postcards, president. Billboards?
But no one, right? No one, but no one freaks out like Vera Farmiga. She freaks out, man. When she freaks out, it's like the meltdowns and the freakouts and the hair gets going and she's screaming, "Norman, shut up!" And whatever she's
and
doing,
when she comes out of it though,
and then she's so calm and zen,
and it's always so motivated. I don't know how the hell she does that. It never feels trite. It never feels rushed. Oh, it always feels like it bubbled up from the crazy place.
Feels overacted either, which is hard. No. It's hard to not go.
God help us all if she ever comes on the show, or if you ever meet her. I don't know what's going to happen.
Could you? you be all bad.
It's the only time that he'll be quiet. Actually, he probably wouldn't say a word. He'd just stare and watch.
Yeah. So what are you going to do now?
Any other podcasts?
I'm right with you. Maybe Duo will be the only one talking, because I think the three of us are.
How does your podcast people listen to this? Just you talking?
Yeah.
Shut up, Duo. She's going to say something.
So Vera, whenever you'd like to come on the program,
we would love to have you. So we that we can silently stare and awe.
Treat you with the utmost respect.
I'm going to send her PR person this very clip.
Yeah, right. Please send her this tape.
Yes, please.
Joe, you done?
that's how we do our transitions here. So you done?
I'm the king of the segue.
Are you done, Flip?
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm mostly done. I also wanted to mention, just on a pure actor note to Vera Farmiga.
No.
Right. I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed her scene on the patio there with Shelby, where she was trying to keep him from freaking out.
Yes.
But at the same time, she was clearly, you're the guy who kept the Asian sex slave, and now I don't really want to have sex with you. It doesn't seem like a good idea. Right. You seem a little untrustworthy now. Like, I thought that scene was terrific.
She did
threaded that needle.
Yeah, on the patio of her house, not the patio. Because I was thinking of when Shelby had the gun, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the plumber came, and I told him he could stay in this room." Like, that lie was great. Like, she was just so calm about it. She's like, "Yeah, I just forgot." And he's
lying to you. I just forgot.
Yeah, duh. It was really good. Can I talk about Emma?
Yes.
I want to talk about
Emma. Wait, I'm sorry. Flip, are you done?
Yeah, I think we should talk about Emma now.
Anything else about Vera Farmiga and how great she is?
I love you, Vera Farmiga.
All right. What about you? What do you got?
Well, this is what... I know that Emma was only in a little bit of the episode, but I felt like what she had to say, and I wrote this in my notes, and then I actually... Somebody wrote in about this as well.
Micah L.
Was it Micah L?
Right there. It's the one circled.
Oh, was it Micah L? Somebody wrote in about this, and I really wanted to bring this up because I completely agree. Emma said something that was so poignant at the very, very beginning of the episode when she's talking to Norman. She said, "A guy that you were really into turning out to be a monster like that."
Micah L.
Which is ironic because Emma is so into Norman. Now, it started having me think about all the similarities between Emma and Norma. And Filippo, you said last week how Norma has this really big need to kind of make things go her way. And I feel like Emma has that that same trait, except the driving force for Emma is that she doesn't have time. I feel like the driving force for Norma is unclear to me right now, but right now I think it's control. But I just think that there are so many similarities with the character of Emma and Norma. And it was really brought to my attention this episode. I found it really interesting.
I think you're 100% right, and it is interesting how many different kinds of people there are. But there are definitely people who will just force it. This has to go this way, and you're 100% right. Emma's exactly the same way.
Yeah,
she's going to make it happen. And and when that scene when Norman told her that he was with what's her name?
Bradley.
Bradley. Tyra Banks before everything went wrong.
Tyra Banks?
Not Tyra Banks. I'm sorry. Tyra Reid. Pardon me.
Tyra Reid.
I got my...
It's Tyra Banks.
It's Tyra Banks. Everything's just fine. It couldn't have gone much worse than that. But that scene where he told her, like, "Oh, I'm with Bradley," and she's like, digests it, and she's like, "Okay, I'm not changing my direction. We're still doing this." Yeah. You know, and
it was just a hookup.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely
single
right.
tier.
Well, and the episode with Norma and Emma, it was a strange dance of like alpha female kind of chat. When she's sitting there, she's like, we need to go to cops, we need to go to the FBI right now. Emma's like, we have to go to the FBI. And of course Norma goes into her, yeah, of course honey, just let her rest for a minute. And it was right. It was such, I feel like it was just like a vie for control.
Well, but notice that the very first thing Norma said was, we're not going to police. And then yep. she dialed it back. Well, I mean, we're going to wait, honey.
Yep.
Because her first instinct was like, shut up.
Yep, exactly.
And I was like,
and then she kind of realizes that, you know, she has a disease and that she's still a little girl and she can just dial right. it back. We find out also that Emma's character doesn't really have a mother and hasn't for 8 years.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a great sequence, too, and that hug.
That big hug.
Which felt like it was like a 30-minute hug, because it started out and, you know, Joe in the room said, oh, no, Norma doesn't hug. She's not going to do that. Whoa, wait, by the end, Joe and I were hugging each other and crying.
We were. And when Joe cries, he blubbers, and there's snot. It's a mess.
It's so all, sweet. They love each
like,
other.
It's like Clute, man. There's just snot. And all.
It's true.
That's a Jane Fonda reference. It's the first time snot was ever recorded on film.
All right. There you go. Look it up, kids.
And then as soon as Emma drives away, Norma's face totally changes, and she's like, we are not going to the cops.
So, dude, do you think
that chick
but
is
did
high.
You buy that moment of tenderness from Norma with an act? I felt like it felt pretty genuine to me.
I cried.
It's not bubble.
No. I don't think it was an act. I think that Norma does have feelings. I think it was genuine, and I think it was definitely genuine, but I definitely think that she doesn't want to go to the police, and not until they get that belt.
Yeah.
Which is something else I want to touch base on really quickly, is that if Shelby put the belt back in Keith Summers' boat, isn't that kind of... That was Keith Summers' belt that's now back in Keith Summers' boat.
Well, no, but...
Well, yeah, but
he lives
but Shelby...
Maybe, he just, maybe his belt... Where
Shelby,
else would it be?
Shelby could have put it anywhere he wanted, because Shelby was in control of the belt.
Yes, but if you... But if they then go to trial, and they're like, you know... I just felt like it was back in his... Like, why did they need
to retrieve
it?
Well, like, he hasn't tampered with evidence before. I mean, hiding place.
And by the way, the belt is the least of his worries in that boat. There's a sex slave in the freaking boat.
Yeah.
So I think the belt... the belt's a little... Is maybe hiding underneath the sex slave.
Well...
So if they search the boat, he's got a little more problems. Bigger problems.
Well, I guess it doesn't really matter now. I guess they didn't even have to take the belt because Shelby is pretty much gone. By the way, I loved that ending scene with his eye all blown out.
It was so great.
So great. So is Shelby gone forever then? That's it? Do you think they'll do anything else with him? Or do you think he's done?
I suspect that Shelby bled out on the stairs. I guess we don't know for sure.
We'll see his backside, like as he's facing the floor.
Yeah.
We saw those in clips for next week's episode. So, he will be back, literally and figuratively. So, yes.
Shelby could come back with an eye patch and his arm in a sling.
Oh, no. He's like, that's how we do it in town.
You don't know what kind of, you know, scientific experiments they're working on.
Well, the other thing about Shelby is he did mention to Dylan, he's like, I know who you work for, which is like...
Oh, yeah.
That was a little like... That made me feel like that the crime boss is like maybe in on like because if Shelby's dirty, then Shelby's dirty. Then he's not. He's in with my man, you know, with doing the models, whatever he's doing. So I don't know. Maybe that's another thing that Dylan will find out later. You know,
well,
when he
and I also
does his thing.
It also explains why Shelby was so cold to Dylan when Dylan went up to his house a couple episodes ago and tried to save Norman. Also, when they first met, he was so cold towards him.
Yeah.
And it's like because I know who you're working for.
Right. He was like you. Yeah. But so wait, just to be clear.
Yeah.
So you think that Norma, I'm back to that moment, that hug. What do you make of that? Do you think that it was, I mean,
I think that Norma has genuine moments with ulterior motives.
Right, but do you think that she really likes Emma, or was this like
she just answered you.
Yeah,
genuine moments with ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dua.
I'm sorry. Clearly didn't hear when she said it. Trying to be helpful.
All right.
No, but I think it started out with, you know, with I'm going to give you a hug here. And then she realized how long a hug she needed because clearly, I mean, Norma wasn't into it right away. It took a minute. I expected the three-pat, you know, and moving on, but that didn't happen.
It was a good hug.
And then it went longer, but because that's what Emma needed. That's not what Norma needed.
Well, and also,
that doesn't
I mean
Norma didn't, you know, feel something.
There was another hug when Norma hugged Dylan at the end of the episode. That I felt like that was an incredibly genuine hug.
Yeah,
like that was a hug that was a long time coming.
Well, they're gonna make out. That was a little too high.
It was a little.
I do believe I said, please don't make out.
It was a little too like, uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, Nando, what leapt out at you, sir? What do you got?
Well, Dylan. You gotta love him. He's the only character that I think, you know, is not imaginary in Norman's mind.
Right.
For no doubt about it. He seems to have his own storyline with the crime bosses. And well, I guess we'll get to learn a little bit more about that. We just saw a little taste of Remo. And Gil and his hobby. But you know, his intention at the beginning of the episode was he still wants to move out. He mm-hmm. wants to take Norman with her. And even though he's stopped calling Norma a whore, and he stopped treating her as crassly as he has in the past, he was willing to make Norma safe. He even said it when he threw the belt away, to get Norman out of the house. That was his intention, to get Norman to move in with him.
Now, do you think that he was actually... his motive was to help Norma, or his motive was to get Norman alone to be like, I think she killed your dad?
I think it was the latter. Yeah, I think he wanted to bond with Norman and tell him, you know, he still thinks Norma's wrong. He's willing to save her. He realizes that the connection between the two is really big, obviously. So he's willing to save Norma, and in essence, he feels he's saving Norman by getting him away.
I think you're right. I think that you have to get Norma squared away to get Norman out of there.
Yeah.
You know, there was something that was said that was really interesting that Max Thoreau, who plays Dylan, gave in an interview, and he said that Norma and Dylan are like vying for Norman's soul. That this is like a competition for Norman's soul.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting and dead on accurate.
Yeah. Well, it is a love triangle, and they're both fighting for Norman. I mean, and it was apparent when Norma found out that Dylan convinced Norman to move out, and she had a sex slave running in the backyard with a cop and a gun who's probably going to come back and shoot them all, and she refused to leave because she was more hurt by that statement than anything that happened in the past 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, wait a minute. What? Why would you do that? Why? Why? Why?
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
the way she did that was hilarious, by
the
way.
Great.
That was
great.
Awesome. Okay, Shelby came. She ran out the door. He chased her into the woods.
But what about this moving
you
out?
Did what?
Where are you going? I don't... Oh, we gotta go. No.
She's like,
no, stop.
Where are you
stop.
Going?
No. Sex slave will keep running. It's okay.
Yeah.
The sex slave.
Dylan's on his way. He may kill us all, but I need to know.
I need to know.
What's going on with you?
This shit right here is not ending quick.
She said. She even said she'd rather have Shelby, you know, she doesn't care if Shelby comes back and kills her. She wants to know the answer.
Exactly.
She wants to know from Norman.
Do you guys think the sex slave is dead?
I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't get the vibe that Shelby had everything wrapped up. He didn't feel like he was in control.
Well, I think nothing was wrapped up because he had three witnesses that knew about it. I think he came back for a reason, so I don't think she got away.
I don't think that she is dead, and this is why, is because I felt like if he would have killed her, if he would have run after her, chased her, and killed her, that he would have walked back and not been so out of breath.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't feel in control enough to have handled that part of the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he would have just been like, all right. But no, he was definitely running, and it's like he was running around, and then he ran back, which leads me to believe that...
I figure he ran back because the last he saw of Norma, he threw her against the wall, and he wanted to make sure that she was still there.
Because when I throw a chick against the wall, she stays thrown against the wall.
Yeah. I mean, it could go either way. I would just assume that if she was still on the loose, he would chase her because that's the biggest tie to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he's resolved that, he runs back. But it could go either way. Maybe, you know, he's got loose ends on both sides.
Yes.
He's got a sex slave on one end, and he's got the Bates family on the other.
Yeah, things are unraveling fast now.
Which I found it so hilarious that he, like, runs up the stairs when he's like, I have to have you right now. And he, like, goes up to see, I have to see you right now. And I was like, why is that? No sex slave
at all.
He's like, damn it.
Where's Norma? You found me out.
I went to the boat. There was no one there. I'm here now.
I'm horny. I got it up. I got to do something with this. So you're my second choice.
All right.
How about that?
That's terrible.
After all is said and done, here's the defining moment. The hug that it came was genuine, and we're talking about how genuine it was for Norma, but it seemed just as genuine for Dylan.
Well, that's my question for you. Do you think that now, I mean, Dylan seems pretty committed. He's been like sort of slowly but surely he's always wanted this family. He's really always sort of wanted Norma's affection. It seems like he wanted, you know, Norman's affection. He seems to have won Norman over and really been protective of his brother. And now we see him even in the last episode, him trying to help his mom when she was in jail. And then now this episode, he's like, I'm going to go get this belt. Don't move. But now that she knows the whole story about Norman, is he really? He's not going anywhere, is he?
Well, exactly. No. That's what I was going to say.
Like,
yeah.
They're one big happy family now. The gang's all together again.
His intention was to move out and to take Norman with him, and now he realizes, now that he shares a secret, and that he realizes that Norma was trying to protect Norman, mm-hmm. And that's what he wanted to do. That's been his goal this whole episode.
So now they have something in common.
Now they have something in common, and they're sharing this whole big experience with a sex slave somewhere possibly on the loose or bloodied in the backyard, and a dead cop. That they're going to have to stick together. They can't split up right now. So they're forced together by circumstances right now.
Right.
So mm-hmm.
Well, let me jump into Norman really quick. We got about 8 minutes left. So let me get Norman.
Eight minutes.
What's that? Running low on time.
He's got 10 things to do in 8 minutes. No. Norman. So we finally find out. We really see Norman. You know, the actual blackouts. We see it happen in time. And a couple of things I have to say about Norman. Number one, when he blacks out, he's going for a blunt object. He's that's his move, right? It's the blender, it's the meat tenderizer, it's the, you know, like he's, there's like something else. Like he's always going out with the that's his one move.
With the bang.
So yeah, that kid, he's got it down. So, but and Freddie Highmore, I mean, he's another. He's really doing it too, man. He's gone from the cutest kid in the world in Finding Neverland to the creepiest kid, you know. All and you know, yeah. he is so that weird like. Trance look when he goes in that trance and he's all like blacked out with his eyes, like he's super freaky. Yeah.
What did you think about the time when he was when he had hit his head and he was bleeding and Norma was trying to get him up? This was not in the flashback, and they're on the porch. He's like, Norman. He opens his eyes for a second and all he mutters is, "Mother."
Yeah,
was it?
He's killing. Yeah, and also that shot. I mean, you know, back shout out to my man Tucker and what's his other name, Ted.
Ted Tucker.
That last shot of Norman in the police car was very reminiscent of the last shot in Psycho, which I watched over the weekend, by the way. Again, I went back and watched Psycho, and it's
holds up. It's
really
was.
Good. But it's like just like that last shot of Norman, like sort of staring in a camera, slow push in on Norman, also very scary. He's got the blood in his head. You're like, oh, yeah, this is Norman
Sirens
Bates.
Sirens behind him.
Oh, it's Norman Bates. He's crazy. That's right. he's psycho.
It's kind of true. Like, the first few episodes of the season, there's been all kinds of, maybe it's Norma, maybe the whole thing comes up because mom's crazy and she messes him up, and maybe it's circumstance, maybe it's because dad died. Then you start to realize tonight the truth,
right?
Which is the good episode.
The truth.
Norman is crazy.
Norman's crazy. The sex slave is real, and Norman's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's very much of nature versus nurture. Is he inherently like this or not, or was it Norma's doing? And
like,
so,
well, like I said, Mr. Bates, old John Bates, was no charmer. So, I mean, who knows?
He was a little limper too. Did you guys notice that?
Well, he was on disability.
Yeah.
Oh, I
remember. She said, "Is it easier? It's easier just collecting disability checks." That's why he popped off.
That's the norm. I know, by the way.
I was like, "Oh, what's going to cut your balls off? These."
Yeah, that's the Norman Bates I know.
Oh, pushing buttons, taking names.
Wonder what happens if I say this big, strong man this terrible thing.
but just the last thing about Norman is, and just in the context of the entire show, this whole show has been it's a prequel, and this. And we've been sort of like an origin story, if you will. And we've been trying to unravel this mystery about Norma and Norman and what's happening. And now it seems like the whole show now can pivot. Because now that we know that Norman's losing time, we know that Norman killed someone, we know that Norman's crazy, the show now becomes really interesting, not that it wasn't, really interesting about like, okay, so how does Norma and Dylan and Emma all react to Norman, who's clearly, at any given moment, is going to bang someone over the head with a meat tenderizer or a blender?
Yeah, or what triggers him? Like, what
that's
is
the question. What triggers?
So it'll be really interesting to find these next six episodes. Like, okay, now what's what? You know, don't Norman's blacking out again.
And we have 4 episodes left. Is that right?
Is it 10 or 13?
It's 10.
No, it's 10.
Oh, so
10, and
4.
Season 2 is 10 episodes too. I don't know why I would just put up 4 fingers for 10 episodes.
Somebody didn't watch Sesame Street.
Well, I can go on and on about Norman all day long, but we only have about 4 minutes left. So let's jump into news and gossip.
Normally there'd be a drop
news
in right
and
now.
There it is. Well, I have a few things. I know that we've been talking a lot about Carlton Cuse, who just recently did an interview in The Hollywood Reporter. He mentions that Dylan's father is actually going to be making an appearance, not in season one, but we will be meeting Dylan's father, who was, I think, Norma's first husband. That's correct. When
Seems
she was 17.
Right.
We will be meeting him, I think, in season two. He will be a little bit further down the storyline, so we'll be get to meeting him. And then Nestor, who is the gentleman that plays Sheriff Romero, he also was in Lost. He played Richard in Lost. He mentioned how he got the role of Sheriff Romero is that Carlton Cuse had called him and asked him to read. He goes, go ahead and read the script. And the funny thing about it was the script, Carlton Cuse and Karen Aaron, who were the co-writers, actually wrote the first six episodes all at once. They had the first six episodes completely written, which for a television show is... especially one that's pilot hasn't even been shot yet, is huge. So he got six scripts all at once, and he read them all night, couldn't put them down, and immediately said yes. And one thing that Nestor also said was that they keep the actors guessing just as much as they keep the audience guessing. And I think that adds a lot to what is given in a scene.
Right.
You know, that they keep them all guessing. Right now, Braswell's looking at the sex book online.
Not the sex book. It's a
bondage
sketch
book.
It's a book. It's a sketchbook.
How many years have you wanted to be able to open up a sex book on just like, hey, you know what? This is completely legit today.
You can download on iTunes. You can download the full book, and you can get the sex slave who has a name.
Oh, that's nice.
I think it's Jiro or Hiro.
Yeah, it's Ono.
I'm going to find it right now. It's her story. It's a big book. Anyway, you can
Mao. Is it Mao?
No, keep going.
All right. So Freddie Highmore knows Arabic. I found this interesting. When he went to...
J-I-A-O.
Jiao. That's close.
Jiao.
Jiao.
You can find her whole story. If you go to... if you have iBooks on iTunes, you can download her whole sketchbook. The manga. Go ahead.
If you have children, you probably shouldn't do it.
No.
They're going to find it.
Freddie Highmore knows Arabic.
Sad story, by the way.
Arabic and Spanish, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
When he went to Cambridge, that's what he chose to study. He chose to study Arabic. So, and then the...
Do you think it's possible Freddie Highmore is just a spy, and he's been sent here by the SAS, the British MI6?
That's right, MI6.
And he's gonna infiltrate Hollywood and...
the SAS.
No, but that
possible.
Would be...
I'm just saying he speaks Arabic and Spanish.
Yeah.
This is going on our screenplay. This is going on our big... pilot.
Right?
Right. You play the villain. Highmore's the MI6 guy.
Actor by day, spy by night.
And you'll be on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
You can't get away with this, Highmore.
And he's like rushing off the set. Where you got to be? We're having a party afterwards. Oh, I'll catch up with you all. And he's off. And
Hollywood is texting me right now.
Yeah, is that what that is?
They want this idea.
All right, guys. We got to wrap it up. I got one more thing.
Go.
We talked really, really quickly about last week and about...
Literally says Hollywood. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's Hollywood.
Oh, like, it's Hollywood. Reply.
It's like herding cats over here. It's like herding cats.
Doing a podcast. Call you back later, Hollywood Sid. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
No,
go.
It's totally fine. So Ed Gein is actually the real life... serial killer and body snatcher that Norman Bates' character was inspired by.
Yes.
He was born in 1954. He dug up women and wore their bodies and cut them up. And he's who Norman Bates is inspired. The actual real-life Ed Gein had a brother. Mm. So I think that that's what inspired...
Fred Gein.
I think that's what inspired Dylan's character, because
he wore women's skin, so kind of like Hannibal.
He also was the inspiration for Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and a character in Hannibal.
What's his name?
Puts the lotion on the skin.
Buffalo Bill. Jeez.
All right.
And so I just found that he's been the inspiration for lots of like crazy psychopaths. But we were talking last week about source material, so I was wondering if that's where Dylan's inspiration was from. And that's it. I'm done for news and gossip today, guys.
All right.
And other news and gossip, actually. Oh. She bought an iPhone. We did say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Your news is old.
It's old news.
Oh, man,
she bought an iPhone.
That's embarrassing.
I'm embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
Predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Joe Sanfilippo.
I don't know,
man. Come
on,
Filippo.
All right.
Not 3 weeks in a row.
No, all right. I predict that Dylan is going to spend some time in jail and if not, get shot by Sheriff Romero, because Sheriff Romero looked pissed.
Yeah. What's his name, his buddy?
Well, we've lost casual rapist. We've lost Now we've lost Sex Slave Guy.
Keith Summers. Fishing buddy Keith Summers and his partner.
And this
both are dirty, by the way.
Right.
Both are doing dirt, but not Romero.
But, you know what I'm saying? Poor Romero, like, right. All of his... I mean, who do you go fishing with if you're not going fishing with Casual Rapist and Sex Slave Guy?
By the way, I'm sorry. I know we're late, but if Romero... listen, one last question. If Romero is such a goddamn genius, he's such a like a top cop, like nothing gets past Romero, how can his fishing buddy, you know, be a casual rapist and his partner be a sex-slaving, you know, guy?
So one of two things is happening here. Either Romero is not as sharp as we'd love to believe he is, or Romero's in on the capers.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Nanovel, go.
Oh, God, I got nothing either.
Oh, God.
You know, Dylan's going to move in.
Okay,
I don't know.
You.
All right, my prediction. Okay. You know, we talk faster.
He was going to get an iPhone. There you go. That's my prediction.
My prediction is that Sam's death, who is Norman's dad, is actually going to come back to haunt them, because you notice that he got hit in the back of the head, and then the paint thing went over him. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm saying that there will be an investigation, and that will come back to haunt them.
The paint was interesting. I still Emma. Something's gonna happen to Emma bad, and I don't know. It scares me, and I like her, so I'm afraid of that. Joe Sanfilippo, where can we find you?
You can find me here at AfterBuzz. We do we do The Americans. Uh-huh. We do The Following. Yep. We do The Bates Motel.
That's
we
right.
do The Mad Men. And you can also find me on Twitter at Joe Flippo.
Yep, that's it. Nandovel.
That's all I got.
You can find me at Nandovel, and also Following season finale on Monday. And
yes.
And Amazing Race and Celebrity Apprentice.
Well, yeah. Dua Casey.
I'm Dua Casey. You can find me at Dua Casey on Twitter. And I actually do post everything that I find on News and Gossip on my Twitter page. So it's DuaKaiSSI.
And I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me at Joe K. Braswell on Twitter. Also, as Joe said, in The Americans, The Following, One More Night, and Mad Men, which we're doing now, and also on Grantland.com. And that's all I got. And Extra, if you care. Thank you so much for... It's a great show, Extra. Maria Menounos, our lovely...
Host.
Our lovely host, boss.
Founder.
And host the show that I work on that gives me paychecks as well. My name is Joe Braswell. Thank you very much. We're out of here. Thank you for listening every week.
That was a great sign-off.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. Very good, Johnson.